Worship design studio leader Marcia McPhee writes, in these two scriptures, we see the desire of God for us to be taken care of, for us to live to the fullest, and for us to support one another in having abundant life and community, food, and gladness. The thief in the first passage could be anything that robs us of those things. Sometimes the sacrifices we are enduring because of our attempts to slow this virus down can feel as if we've been robbed of our well-being. We know we've been robbed of togetherness and the feeling of community we get from being in our familiar worship spaces on Sunday mornings, being among our friends and our neighbors, even our family. But we can also turn that around and see that these sacrifices are how we share goodwill and well-being with one another. Our hearts overflow with the grace and guidance we know from the shepherd, and we want that goodness for everyone. Glad and generous hearts overflow with love in a variety of ways. When we look at today's scripture from John's Gospel in its larger context, we see that it sits beside the story of a man whom Jesus heals. Now, according to that story, the man was born blind. When Jesus meets him, he gives him sight. Since it happened to be the Sabbath day, the Pharisees open an investigation into the matter. They quiz the man, "Who healed you?" They quiz his parents, "Was he in fact born blind? Then how is it possible he can see now?" And time after time, the man tells them Jesus performed a miracle. And he asserts his belief in Jesus as the Son of Man. And Jesus pronounces this judgment: "I have come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now, Jesus is contrasting physical sightedness and blindness with spiritual sightedness and blindness. The man born blind has received the gift of spiritual sight, while the Pharisees remain blind to Jesus' true identity. Jesus goes on to indict those religious leaders. "I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate but climbs over the wall is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." No doubt, you've heard a good many sermons preached on this passage and on the 23rd Psalm, wherein Jesus, or God, is named as our good shepherd who watches over us, his flock, who leads us into the safety of still waters and verdant fields, who guides us through dark valleys and into land abundant with life. "I came so that they could have life, indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest," says Jesus, our good shepherd. That fullness of life stems from the knowledge that we are cared for, we are protected, we are guided. The sheep in the pen where the shepherd guards the gate are safe from worry and fear. They are protected from predators, they are guarded against evil, and no thieves are getting past that shepherd. Can you say that you feel as secure in your daily walk with God? Do you feel safe from worry and fear, guarded against evil, protected from that which would steal your life or your joy? Because that's the kind of peace Jesus offers to us, peace that allows us to live abundantly and joyfully, loving and being loved. And when we feel secure, our hearts are full to overflowing, and love and joy pour forth from us. Bill and I used to have a couple of sheep, Bridget and Gretchen. They were pets. We saved their wool to spin into yarn. They were a bit spoiled, as sheep go. And every spring, when the snow melted and we could turn them loose into their little paddock, they would be so excited to run in the grass that they would literally bounce out of the barn as if they had springs in their hooves. We would laugh just to watch them gamboling through the fresh spring grass. They were so happy and carefree and filled with joy. When is the last time you felt carefree and filled with joy to overflowing? Friends, we are Easter people We believe in the power of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and who raises us from the forces of this world that would rob us of our joy and steal from us abundant life. We are Pentecost people who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and in the spaces between us, keeping us connected as a community of believers who rejoice with one another and in one another. We are Christ's people who choose sacrificial love and forgiveness and grace as the way that leads to abundant life, joy-filled, carefree, abundant life. We are people who choose every day to reject what would stymie our ability to live life to its fullest. Right now, maybe that's COVID-19 and fear and anxiety. And maybe there's something else too. Maybe someone in the family is coping with a cancer diagnosis. Maybe you're experiencing grief for a loved one or a close friend. Maybe you're living with a separation that cannot be reconciled. Maybe there's a disappointment in your life. There sure have been a lot of major life events canceled or postponed this spring. Maybe you or someone you know is struggling with food insecurity, with a fear of lost income that could lead to lost housing. These are thieves and bandits who try to steal our joy and shake our faith. But the Gospel of John tells us God's good news is all about the fullness of life found in faith in our Good Shepherd. John's prologue sets the tone. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all people. Encountering the Pharisee Nicodemus, Jesus tells him, "For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Jesus says to his followers, "I am the resurrection and I am the life, and those who believe in me, even though they die, shall live." And on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prays, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And at the conclusion of John's gospel, we read that, "But these things are written so that you may believe, and that through believing, you may have life in Jesus' name." Abundant life is what the first century church celebrated as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. And as they shared food, praised God, and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. May we live these days in this season following their example, receiving the abundant life God offers us until our hearts overflow with love. Bill is going to help me close out the message this morning with the words of a hymn from 17th century German theologian Paul Gerhardt. It's hymn number 129 in the Methodist hymnal. It was translated in the 1700s by John Wesley. So I invite you to hear now the words and the melody that we often sing with "Give to the winds thy fears."
Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be not dismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, God gently clears the way. Wait thou God's time. So shall this night soon end in joyous day. Leave to God's sovereign sway to choose and to command. So shalt thou, wondering, own that way. How wise, how strong his hand. Let us in life, in death, thy steadfast truth declare, and publish with our latest breath thy love and guardian care.